Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Rachel. All right. Well, I'm excited to be here to share how Christ's resurrection has made our life meaningful. How is giving us a meaningful life? Now, if you've ever done anything that's meaningless, right? You're like, what is this? Well, me and my husband live in this wonderful area. We have this beautiful park, and it's about 3.5 miles around. And we first moved there. We're like, this thing is huge. Let's walk around it. And so we brought our daughter, who was about 7 at the time. And we're walking, and it's beautiful. And she's like, what are we doing? This is pointless. We're going in circles. We're just walking in circles. This is so pointless. We're like, this isn't pointless. We're getting exercise. We're outside. But to her, we're literally going around in circles in the middle of town, and it was pointless to her. But I think so many times our Christian walk can be like that. We're Christians, we think, oh, we just have to be Christians, we're following rules, and we forget that there is meaning and there is purpose in that life. There's meaning and purpose in the life. So that's what we want to talk about today, is how the resurrection of Christ has given us meaning and purpose in our life. My daughter, she's hilarious. She was always a very dramatic little creature. She still is. All right, so a scripture that Rachel just read said, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equipped you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The scripture covers a whole process of how we can have a meaningful life through Christ's death and resurrection. Now, many of us get caught up in Christ's death, and I think through this whole series, we've really tried to focus. Yes, Jesus died for us, but the key thing is he rose again. Because if he didn't rise again, well, then he'd be like everybody else's God, dead, right? But the resurrection is where the power is. The resurrection is where, wow, this is something amazing has happened. Now, many of the apostles did amazing things, right? And they died horrible ways like Christ did. But what's the key thing that didn't happen with them? They didn't rise again, right? They didn't rise again. Peter and Paul were both martyred in Rome. Andrew, he was crucified. Thomas, he was pierced through the spears of 4 soldiers. So they all went through these crazy things, right? But they were men that did incredible things. We don't want to just focus on their death. You know, they had powerful, Philip had a powerful ministry in Carthage and North Africa and then Asia Minor, where he converted the wife of a Roman, I can't say this word, but in relation to that person they had arrested and cruelly put to death. So he traveled huge part of the world and spread the word of God. He did amazing things. And not only did they live a meaningful life, a purposeful life, spreading the word of God, but it was so powerful and amazing, they were willing to die for it. They were willing to die for it. So these men lived incredible lives that they were willing to die for it. The resurrection is how we know that Jesus is who he said he was. Because a lot of people will think, oh, I love Jesus. I like the idea of Jesus. He's a good teacher. A lot of non-believers say that. Oh, I like some of the things he says in the Bible. And they believe maybe in the existence of him, but they don't believe he was the Son of God. Well, the resurrection is what proves he was the Son of God. And the problem with that belief system is if they like what Jesus says, well, they don't really listening to what he says, because he says he equates himself with God over and over throughout scripture. So either he is who he says he is, or he's a crazy person, right? You can't take pieces and bits of what you like about him and then throw out the big chunk of what he said he was. But the resurrection is what proves he was who he said he was. So now that we've said that the resurrection, how it proves Jesus is who he said he was, and how powerful that is in our lives, how that makes our Christian walk not available, but possible. Without the resurrection, our Christian walk wouldn't even be possible. Because in the scripture, our main scripture, it also points to the beginning, the God of peace, right? That part says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. It says, now may the God of peace. The resurrection of Christ made it possible that we can live in peace with God. So as a believer, the resurrection made it possible for you to have peace with God. That is a key thing. Because the resurrection, what did it do? It paid for our sin. It made it possible for us to live in the presence of God. Without it, that wouldn't be possible. The thing I want to talk about most today is that through the resurrection of Christ, it gives us a life of purpose, and it gives us a life of meaning. Because in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I have an innate desire in my life to have a life of purpose and have my life have meaning. I don't want to just live and then just be pointless. I mean, I want to die, and I don't want to have like, oh, they remember me, but I want to have at least done something of value, right? I want my life to have mattered, and I believe that God puts that in us. That yes, we are supposed to do something of value. There's a great calling when you become a follower of Christ, when you allow the resurrection of Christ to move in your life. You have purpose. Each and every one of us has a calling. Amen. Every single one of us has a calling to reach the lost. Every single one of us is called to ministry of some kind. So when we enter into that, God puts that calling in our life and gives us meaning in our life. Now, every one of you is called to a unique calling. Now, that might be missions. That might be church ministry of some kind. But I want to argue that it's right where you are in your day-to-day life. It's in your day-to-day life. And I want to share kind of how God gave me meaning in my life. Now, not only did he save me from my awfulness, and we want to get into that, and gave me a wonderful life to live as a Christian, but he has given me meaning in the most mundane things. Now, I own a cleaning business, and I struggled with the idea of owning a cleaning business for a very long time because it's not a very glamorous job. You know, you go clean people's houses. When people ask you, you know, one of the first things they ask you when you meet them is, what do you do for a living? Well, you say, I clean houses. The conversation pretty much ends right there. What do you go? Oh, okay. You know, it's nothing glamorous. It's nothing glorious. And so I always struggled. And I also had this innate calling that I was called to ministry. And so I felt torn between the two. I felt like they couldn't live together. I had to be in full-time ministry or cleaning business. So I couldn't feel like they couldn't coexist. And so I prayed and prayed, I'm like, God, can you give me peace or give me guidance in one way or the other? And I felt like God finally gave me peace and goes, your cleaning business is your ministry. And I'm like, what? How is that ministry? He's like, your clients. You get to minister to your clients just by being there, just by being being Jesus to them. When they encounter you, they're encountering Jesus. And I've had amazing opportunities to pray with people. And a biggest thing is I listen to them. I listen to them. I hear them when they're talking about the pain and suffering that's going on in their lives. I get to do that. And I get to leave their house clean where they feel less stressed and they feel less pressure in their life. So I'm like, wow, God has given me meaning even in the most meaningless thing as a housekeeper. And now I changed my mind. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about meeting with my employees or somebody else I can minister to. I get to share my life with them. They get to share their life with me. I get to be Jesus to them. When you allow the resurrection of Christ to really come and transform your mind of your meaning and purpose, you can find meaning in everything. In everything. Now, I believe not only are we called to ministry within our jobs, but our ministry in our families. In our families, how often, and this I think is most pastors, not most, I can't say most, many pastors and many people in church ministry, full-time church ministry, neglect the family that's right in front of them because they're out ministering to everybody out there and their heart is in the right place. It really is. But then their family kind of gets the leftover them. They're tired. They're burnt out. They don't have a lot of Jesus left for their family. And I think we are like that too, though, even if you're not in church ministry, right? You're the best person at your job. You're the best person at the coffee shop. You're the best person everywhere else. By the time you get home, you're nasty to your husband. You're nasty to your kids. You lost that. Your first purpose is in your family, in your home. And a lot of moms that are out there, they're just feeding their kids and they're just cleaning their house. And it just seems like nothing is ever getting done. And this is a meaningless, purposeless life. But God has entrusted you with raising your children, and you get to be Jesus to those kids every single day. You get to be Jesus to your husband every single day. And if you start thinking of those things as a ministry, it will change your whole entire world. If you will tap into that purpose that God has given you, it will change it. Just like when I'm scrubbing somebody's toilet, I'm like thinking in a whole different way. I am serving God. I am ministering to this person right now. I get to pray in this house, just like your children and your family. You get to pray over your children. You get to pray over anything that there is. If you have a job that you work by yourself, and you're like, well, I don't get to see a lot of people. I don't get to minister to a lot of people. Well, maybe God has a time just for you and him. Maybe it's a time that he gets to speak into your life and heal you and work in your life, and you get to minister to the best one of all. We get to minister unto him. That gives so much meaning in my life. Now, if I take away what Christ has done in my life and I look at my life and what meaning that would be, it's not very good. It's a self-centered life existence. It's all about me. That becomes very small. So small. When you take God out of the picture and you take, so Jesus never died on the cross and nothing that ever happened, he never rose from the dead. What do we have? We really don't have anything. It's all about me. And that's not very fun. I mean, me without Christ, it's not so good. And that's what we're stuck with. And so that way, through the resurrection of the Christ, we get to have that meaning in every single thing that we do. And every single thing we do. I know a lot of people have children that might be not serving God and things like that. And I think the best way, people come and ask me, what verse should I share with them? What scripture should I share with them? And I want to hear, let me make sure you hear me. Scripture is powerful. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But sometimes when it's just shoved down somebody's throat with no love behind it, it's meaningless. I remember growing up in the church, and there was a lot of people that tried to minister to me, but they had ulterior motives. Their motives were to look good, or they wanted to get close to my parents because they were pastors, and I knew it. So anything they said to me, I was like, this is not in love. I'm just not listening to you. The ones I listened to were the ones that actually cared. They actually cared about me, and they wanted to reach me, and they actually loved me. And I think when we're trying to reach our families, we want to make sure our motives are correct. And if you want to share scripture and it's in love, then it will be powerful. But if it's not, it's like one of those billboards you see driving down the street, Jesus loves you. It's like, okay, cool. But it's not really very impactful. If I have somebody who loves me and is caring and is listening to me and says that to me, that's going to have a whole different meaning to me. God has incredible things for us to do. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Ephesians 3:16 says, I ask that out of the riches of his glory, he may strengthen you with the power through his spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Then you, being rooted and grounded in love, will have power together with all the saints to comprehend the length, the width, the height, the depth of the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to the power that is work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. More than we can ask or imagine. More than we can ask or imagine. Now, God does move in the mundane things, but he does also ask us to do crazy, awesome, adventurous things. The Christian walk is exciting, it's adventurous, it's challenging, it's hard, it's amazing. This scripture was first spoke to me when I went to Africa, something I promised I would never do. Because I was growing up in a church, in my mind, you were a super awesome Christian when you went to Africa. Like, that was what you did. Like, really good Christians went to Africa. And I did not want to be a Christian, I didn't want to be in the ministry, and I made it very, very clear that was not something I was going to do. And so I remember telling my mom that I'm not going to be a pastor, I'm not going to be in ministry, I'm not going to serve God, and I'm not going to Africa. And I went to Africa, and it was amazing. I got to experience the culture. I got to experience the people. They ministered more to me than I ministered to them. I got to see animals and alligators and crocodiles, elephants, giraffes, all kinds of cool stuff. That was the crazy adventure I got to do for Christ. I get to minister and go speak at places and lead worship. I get to do all kinds of cool things, and you can too. God has amazing things for you. Look at the things, all the stories through Scripture, how incredible things he had them do. That wasn't just for them. That's for today. We get to minister to people on the cut. There's a middle school right there begging for us to minister to. We've got all kinds of things right in front of us that God has for us. Because through the resurrection of Christ, he has made it possible for us to be a part of his family and for us to love him and love others. Powerful things for us to do. Now, a lot of people, when we become Christians, you're like, what is the will of God? How do we get attached to the will of God? What is God thinking? What does he want us to do? It's really quite simple. And it happens to be this church's mission. Love God and love others. That's your mission. That's your purpose. There's your meaning. Love God and love others. This is Matthew 22, 37 through 39. It says, Jesus declared, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's a lot. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. I don't even love my husband as myself sometimes. I got to work on that. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's it. That's the will of God right there. Love him fully, totally, undivided, and love others. There is your mission. There is your meaning. And this will manifest in different, beautiful, and challenging ways. This is a meaningful life. Love is hard. But love is, it's amazing, right? If it wasn't hard, it wouldn't be amazing. And it's not a namby-pamby thing, you know? Love isn't like, love, you know? It's hard. It's powerful. It's the thing that we all long for. If you think about our whole existence, everything that we do is for love. You want to have nice clothes because you what? Want to be loved. You want a nice car because what? You want to be loved. You want a nice spouse because you want to be loved. It just all boils down to what? Love. We all want love. Well, the beautiful thing is when you become a part of the family of Jesus Christ, you get to enter into that love. And actually, before that, he loved you before you ever loved him or before you ever knew him, because he loved us first. And that way we can love because he loved us. It's like somebody asked me for $5. I don't have $5. What? I can't give them $5, right? So I have to have $5 before I can give it. Correct? Right? Basic math. Same thing with love. If I have no love, I can't give love. So that's why we have to love God first with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, that he can love us. This big awesome love thing going on here, pouring into me. And so then I can love others. And then love God and love others. We just become a conduit of love. Conduit of love. Because 1 John 4:19, we love because he loved us first. He made it possible. He made it possible because he died on the cross and rose again so we can have fellowship with him. So he can love us and we can love him so that we can love others. Without love, like this, nothing is impossible. God will be able to move through us unimpeded by our sin and selfishness. If we did this, if we allowed him to love us the way he wants to love us, and we loved him the way he wants us to love him, nothing would be impossible. It's available to us all the time. All the time. You know those little encounters you have at like camp? Those little encounters of the Holy Spirit you have at camp? Or those little moments you have. We can have those all the time. All the time. All the time. And it won't be the exact same because God shows up different all the time. Because he wants us to go after him, not after the experience. Because that's what happens. You see, that's how these churches sometimes get a little uber weird. Because they're going after an experience and they're forgetting the whole purpose of it. God wants to love you, and he shows up and manifests in all kinds of amazing, powerful ways. But he desires for us to just be filled with his love, filled with his spirit, so that everything we do comes out of that. If we can do that, if we could tap into that, everything would change. Your families would change. Your life would change. Your work would change. Everything would change. It would all change. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." It's not in vain. I think for us that have been in ministry a long time, I think this is something to remember. It's not in vain. If you've been in any kind of church ministry and you've poured yourself into somebody and you feel like, this is not going anywhere. But it's not in vain. I'm sure Tony and Sissy felt like that about me when I was like 15, 14, however old I was. They're like, this is in vain. This is totally in vain. But I remember those seeds were planted. Those things were done in my life and my heart. God was working. So if you're praying for your family and you're being Jesus where you are and you're not seeing any fruit and you're just like, this is pointless, I continue to persevere, continue to push through, continue to pray, continue to trust God, stay connected to the vine, and your labor will not be in vain. And remember, we were talking about an abundant life, right? It's not just for now. There's also an eternal blessing that we have to look forward to as well. An eternal blessing where we get to be in his presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like, won't even be time anymore. Time won't even exist. We're just going to be all up in his presence all day long. All day long. Celebrating and worshiping, and he has wonderful things for us to do there. But our life is supposed to be abundant here and there. Our life should be so amazing and so full of meaning and so full of purpose that we shouldn't have to say anything. People will just know that we're followers of Christ and want to know what's going on with us. That's what should be. That's how it should be. But we have to first come to the place in our lives where we allow God to work in our lives so that we can be those people. I want to have just to spend some time in his presence. Just because my heart is, if we encounter God in the presence of God, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision on whether you're going to serve him, whether you're going to allow him to work in your life. Because the presence of God is so amazing and is so wonderful and is so powerful that he can do all that work. Anything that you're looking for, anything that you're searching for is available in the presence of God. Because through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he has made it possible for us to enter into that presence without any shame, without any guilt, without any hindrance, that we can just reside within his presence. 100% of the time, if we desire it, it's right there. It's right there. So today, if you're just struggling and you're just feeling like you're going through the motions, you're like my daughter and you were just walking in circles. Your Christian walk just feels like you're walking in circles and you're like, what am I doing? What is the point to this? I encourage you to come forward and ask for prayer. Ask for a mind shift like I had about my cleaning business. Ask for God to just shift your whole mindset. And to open your eyes to that he has meaning and purpose right in front of you, right where you are. Or if you feel like you've been called to something, God's put something on your heart and you're like, I don't know, this is what it is. I just pray you come forward and that God would confirm that for you. He would give you passion and vision for that. And today you are not a believer in Christ. You come to church and you're kind of hanging on the fringes and you're like, I really want to have meaning in my life. I really want to feel like my life has meant something. And you want to be a part of this family. You want to be a part of Christ's family. You want to let him work in your life. I encourage you to come forward and we'll pray with you and we'll have you accept Jesus Christ into your life. And then we'll give you new steps, how you can be discipled, how you can learn to be in this family with us. So I want to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you died on the cross and rose again, and that we serve a God that is alive. And God, we thank you that you have given us meaning and purpose in our life, that you love us so much, and that we can love others. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.